The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. All right, welcome into another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks as always to Dollar Dreams for the intro music. This week, we're talking to Colin Cannata and we're talking Patriots as they wrap up mandatory mini camp and basically get ready for a couple weeks off here and then get into official training camp. So, Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing well, KJ. Thanks for having me on again. I feel like it's been a little while, but I'm glad we've circled back, and I'm glad football season is getting closer and closer by the day.
Absolutely. So, Colin, there's a lot of stuff to get to. I guess the biggest thing to start with as far as training camp goes is, I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can get it. We're going to get into a lot of notes, obviously, stuff on Gilmore's absence, one of the big ones. But let's just start with all the quarterback news, because I feel like that's been the story of training camp so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think some people maybe are making a little bit more stories out of it than is necessary. Like, I think in certain situations you've seen, like, videos of, you know, Cam Newton overthrowing a couple receivers, and then they're showing Mac Jones throwing a lollipop touchdown to an uncovered receiver in the back of the end zone. And it's like, how important really is that narrative? I'm sure all the quarterbacks are missing throws and making throws out there. So people are trying to make a quarterback competition out of it, but it comes down to one guy, and that's Coach Belichick. And I think for better or for worse, I guess I'll hear your thoughts on it, but for better or for worse, I don't think there is a quarterback competition. I think if healthy, Cam Newton starts week one. That's just, you know, the feel I get from how consistent Bill has been with the media. But then again, he's surprised us before.
So it's interesting because I feel like the way Bill Belichick approaches football in general, I don't know if I should say there will be a football competition, but, or there a quarterback competition, but he's going to create a competition. He's always wanted to have that mentality with every position. So I think the real question is, will it be a real competition or a competition just for show and just to make, you know, just to, for, you know, so Cam Newton feels like he has to earn the job or whatever. That's what it really comes down to. And, I at the end of the day, I just think Bill Belichick's going to put out there on the field whoever he thinks is the best quarterback, and I think there's a solid chance that he's going to feel like that's Mac Jones. I understand there are a lot of reasons not to do it. For the fact that, do you really want a rookie starting? Like, if you mess him up right away, whatever else you want to talk about, is this team really ready for Mac Jones? Is it a soft enough landing? Whatever, all this stuff. Does Mac Jones need to develop? Whatever, you know, other arguments you can come up with. But to me, I see the very little reason for the Patriots to go into this with anything other than a true quarterback competition, because Cam Newton was pretty bad last year. And I still think that their roster's improved enough that, you know, if bringing Cam back, if he can just improve a little bit, the talent around him is good enough that they can still be a playoff team. But if they decide that, you know, we want to be as good as we can be and Mac Jones is the better quarterback, then that's who they should put out there. And I don't see why Bill Belichick wouldn't come to that conclusion if that ends up being the case.
Yeah, there one thing that I really agree with that you just said is it's beneficial for both parties to have a quarterback competition. And that's, you know, it's not even just the Patriots. Like, there are teams like, you know, the Bears, for example, have said, like, you know, Andy Dalton's our starter. That's the plan. And from everything that, has come out of Foxborough, it's Cam Newton's the starter. That's our plan. But, you know, I think, like you said, it's beneficial to a young quarterback to think, okay, like I'm going in here and I'm fighting for something. And, you know, maybe they shouldn't need extra motivation. You're already a, you know, first round pick with however many million, you know, $1 million worth of motivation to, you know, to go out there and perform. But, you know, I think it gives a better mindset to that young quarterback. And then on the flip side, the veteran quarterback, you know, I feel like it's good to be hearing footsteps behind you a little bit and, you know, be wondering if you're doing a good enough job. And especially, like you said, Cam Newton, he didn't come through in big moments like that. You know, we can look back on the flashes and, you know, if he just improves a little bit and just makes a few less mistakes, you're right. It didn't happen last year, so it's tough to expect it'll happen this year, albeit more talent around him. Yeah, I mean, the way you look at it, I agree. And I would like there to be a quarterback competition, but I'm still kind of stuck on, I don't know if there actually is one.
Yeah, and Belichick said, you know, on draft night that, you know, Cam's our starting quarterback and all this stuff. And everybody's saying all the right things. Cam's saying, oh, yeah, it was the right pick, all this stuff. I think the most recent thing Belichick said about Cam is as far as he said Cam's way ahead of where he was last year at this time. There's no question about that. And sure, there's a lot of things about Cam Newton that went wrong last year that you can give him excuses for. COVID, not only the fact that it was going on and restricting everything, but he had it, and that really, you know, hurt him in a lot of regards. And the training camp, you know, training camp not being as long, or not everybody showing up, or, you know, you're not getting as much practice time, not as much interaction with your teammates to build those relationships, which is an underrated aspect of it that people don't talk about enough, building up chemistry and everything like that. So there's a lot of different things that were working against Newton last year. And, you know, not to mention the fact that it's his first year with the team. I mean, you know, so there was a lot of going wrong last year. A lot of other quarterbacks, you know, namely Tom Brady, succeeded in spite of those things while they were in similar situations. But, you know, I think that if you want to give Newton those excuses because he's a lesser player, I don't have much of a problem with that. I just look at it and I think that, you know, if Cam Newton and Mac Jones really compete, from all the stuff we've heard so far, and you've said it, maybe it's just media speculation, I find it hard that to imagine Mac Jones isn't going to be the guy the Patriots side with because of those simple things of he is more accurate. He's just a more accurate player. And the stuff doesn't surprise me in the least, all this reporting that Mac Jones has been more accurate on every single day of practice. Like, I don't think that's manufactured. I think that's true. I think Mac Jones is that type of quarterback. And that's why I really find it difficult to imagine that at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to look at Cam Newton and Mac Jones and not decide that Mac Jones is more their type of quarterback and the guy they want to start.
Yeah, no, that's why you draft him in the first place, right? You see this guy as your long-term option and fitting the mold. And I agree with you. Like, you know, I did make the comment about Mac Jones throwing the lollipop throws on video and whatever, but that's more because people are using it as like a comparison to Cam Newton. Like, oh, let's find Cam Newton's one bad throw and let's find Mac Jones' best throw. But I'm sure Mac Jones is improving by the day. I mean, they say his work ethic is incredible. And you know, Belichick is usually pretty reserved, I think, when he's talking about those young players who have literally just come in the door. And, you know, not that he had like a rave review of Mac Jones, but, you know, he said Mac Jones has earned a lot of respect. Like, you know, those words, that's a key word in Foxborough. Like, you know, so that means something, you know, gaining the respect of receivers and teammates in general. So, yeah, I'm excited for it to be the Mac Jones era, KJ. That's for sure. But I'm kind of, are you hesitant? I guess we'll kind of, you know, wrap it up with that. Like, are you hesitant that throwing a rookie quarterback is a bad thing if you throw him in there week one, or do you think that's just a narrative that's kind of tired and played out?
I feel like I'm pretty split on it. You know, I think that we've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks succeed right away. Justin Herbert, you know, included last year, Joe Burrow played well. And I think that this team, for the most part, is a soft landing spot. I don't think you're not jumping into, you know, a team like the Jets or something where there's a really iffy supporting cast. Like, this would be a soft landing for Jones and any rookie that could potentially come in. So I don't have any issues with that. And I think for the most part, from what I've seen, and it's hard to really know if players' careers would have changed if they did sit a year. Like, would Blake Bortles be a good quarterback if he sat for a whole year? I don't think so. You know, I think it's hard to kind of just, like, if you look at the history of quarterbacks, who they are in year one is mostly who they are for their whole careers. Like, there's improvement, certainly, especially in the turnover area. A lot of players cut back on their turnovers, Peyton Manning and Baker Mayfield and all these people. But for those other aspects of a player, like, you usually can see it, and it doesn't change a lot. So, and, you know, but from the other token, I think that you look at a lot of the guys who have sit, and it's hard to ignore how great they've been. You know, Lamar Jackson sat for his whole first year pretty much, and then he's the MVP. And then Patrick Mahomes sat for pretty much his whole first year, and he comes out and he's the MVP, and Aaron Rodgers. So it seems like the success and the track record of guys who have sat has been really good, and it's hard to ignore. But I have a hard time imagining that that's going to define someone's career.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, you kind of are the player that you are. It just comes down to that mental aspect of the game. And, you know, I think it's probably blown a little out of proportion. Like, oh, you could, you know, you really mess a guy up if you throw him out there and he doesn't succeed. But it's like, I think some of these players almost respond better to getting out there, making the mistakes and learning from them. You know, like, you can look at all the great moments. Like, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes threw a few interceptions where he tried to do too much. Like, sometimes getting out there, like, get the guy out there, let him start to figure it out, what works, doesn't work. So, yeah, I agree with you. He's the player that he is, and hopefully he's a good one, KJ, because we kind of got a lot riding on the Mac attack now.
Right, and I'm kind of interested to see what it means for the other quarterbacks. I mean, this is just more of an aside than anything, but, like, you've already probably seen some stuff about Jared Stidham, too, this offseason, and it feels like, you know, the Stidham stuff is played out. And it's been kind of a crazy month in general with, you know, the whole fact that Newton gets injured, and then there are all these weird rumors about what actually happened, and, like, you know, so, like, speculating that it wasn't, you know, it was some fight or something. I don't know. I didn't go too deep into that rabbit hole, but it is just kind of, it was a very strange month. It seemed like, oh, how long is he going to be out? Is he going to be out till training camp? No, he's back on the field, like, way earlier than you thought he was going to be. And, you know, all this other stuff. So I don't know. I think that it wouldn't surprise me if Mac Jones was the starter week one. I just think that in today's NFL, it's almost easier than ever to be a rookie quarterback as opposed to the years prior. I mean, people say it's easier to be than ever to be a quarterback in general. So, you know, I think that the talent should shine through. And Mac Jones is, I'm sure, I mean, people said going into the draft that he was one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks. So, I don't know. I think that if the Patriots really think they can win with him, that's who they should stick with.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you're right. I was going to mention it earlier, but I didn't want to get off topic. The Jared Stidham stuff is hilarious to me, that it's still, you know, still getting put out there. And obviously, like, you know, you have to give a guy a fair shake, and he's still employed by the team, and he's going to get his reps. But, you know, for the Jared Stidham New England Patriots, you know, little life cycle here has been an interesting one. He went from an afterthought to all of a sudden, oh my God, is Bill trying to tell us that this guy is, you know, he's our guy moving forward? And now here we are a year later after, you know, not even coming in after some really bad play from Cam Newton. So it shows you where they stand on Stidham. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if he's the one who goes and Hoyer stays to, you know, hold a clipboard and help Mac. I don't know. I wonder, what do you think about that, dude? How many do you think they'll keep? They can't keep four, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, because they've kept four in the past. I think those days are probably long gone. I think that there's an argument to be made to keep four if they really, really wanted to. I don't see the point of keeping Stidham at this point. You know, it's you have Hoyer because he's the veteran presence who's been here and, you know, has been here the longest and can kind of be the pseudo quarterback coach to an extent. You have Newton because he's the veteran quarterback that actually has a real chance at starting. You know, Hoyer's your clear third guy. Newton's the veteran that actually competes for the job. And then Mac Jones is your young guy. And last year, that was Jared Stidham. But what value or what role does Jared Stidham, what purpose does Jared Stidham serve on this team now that Mac Jones has basically taken the mantle of the young guy that could be the next quarterback? I mean, that was the place that Stidham occupied, and now that position's being held by someone else. So really, to me, while Stidham might be better than Hoyer, you could certainly argue that I just don't think he makes sense with Mac Jones on the roster now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, he almost got, like, replaced. You basically said it. Like, he, you know, he was supposed to be the guy that we were grooming? Because let's be honest, we've always, as Patriots fans, done this, whether it was Ryan Mallett. I mean, Jimmy G worked out. But, I mean, we've done it before where it's like, oh, they're always grooming somebody. Even if it's a fourth, fifth-round pick, you know, you still think that there's a chance that that could be the guy of the future, and people definitely get on that train for Stidham. But he's been replaced. He's like, it's like keeping your ex-girlfriend around after you've gotten a new girlfriend. So I feel like it'd honestly be better for him just to, you know, let him go pursue another opportunity. He could probably be a backup somewhere, at least, you know, by week three when the injury bug starts hitting. So we'll see what happens. But relatively insignificant unless there's a complete catastrophe. We're hoping it's a Cam Newton and Mac Jones season with no one else having to get snaps.
Right. Well, let's move on to one of the other big notes from mandatory minigamp, which was that Stephon Gilmore did not show up. Not surprising, not totally surprising that he didn't show up, because he obviously wasn't at OTAs. It seemed like it was headed in this direction because, you know, Gilmore is unhappy with his contract. He wants an extension. We've known this to be the case for a while now, and the Patriots have reportedly been shopping him for over a year. So what are your thoughts on the Gilmore situation as it stands right now? I feel like I'm honestly pretty surprised he's not gone already. I feel like this is taking a little bit too long. This is being dragged out for some reason, and his value is not going to go up any more than it is right now, unless maybe a team suffers an injury or something along those lines. I feel like as you get closer to training camp, as teams continue to make those signings along the fringes, teams can always, you know, utilize their cap space in other ways, and so all of a sudden it gets harder and harder to deal him. So I feel like if a deal's going to happen, it should have already happened, but I don't understand why I don't understand why it hasn't, but it needs to be a little bit quicker here in you know, transitioning to the next era, because I don't see how this situation gets rectified.
See, yeah, I'm torn though, because it sounds like I've only heard bits and pieces, some stuff from Mike Reese, but it sounded like Gilmore kind of still wants to be here. And obviously you got to figure out how you're going to manage the money, how, you know, the Patriots are long notorious for working out contract extensions to please the guy, but not completely kill all their cap space immediately. Like, I don't know exactly the logistics of that and how that would work out, but I don't know. I have a gut feeling that I think he might still stick around and they might really try to, you know, go for it. You know, obviously, yeah, you could get some value if you traded for him. You'll probably end up losing him in the long run if you keep him. But you know what? Sometimes, you know, the best trade wasn't there, because I feel like, right, if the trade offer that they liked or what they were looking for, however they were valuing Stephon Gilmore at this point with his current contract, knowing that the next team who traded for him would have to pay him and please him as well, they must not have gotten that trade offer, right? Because why would we still be sitting here in training camp unless either they're hoping his price comes down a little bit where they can meet in the middle and they can sign him, or, you know, I don't know. Like, you would think if you haven't gotten the trade offer by now, you might not get it until at least the season starts and someone realizes they have, you know, a serious need and can throw next year's whatever second or whatever value that would be for him. But I don't know. I still think there's a chance he's playing for the Patriots at some point this season.
I feel like the fact that he's not showing up, that can't, like, rub Bill Belichick the right way, even if it is like a situation where, oh yeah, you know, we know Stephon Gilmore's not, if Stephon Gilmore's like, oh yeah, I don't like my contract, so I just won't show up for mandatory minicamp and I'll show up for the season and I'll show up whenever I want. Like, that's not a Patriots mentality. That's not a mentality I can imagine Bill Belichick is very fond of. So I'm not quite sure why I should expect that the Patriots will be welcoming him back with open arms once he decides he's ready to start playing. Like, that's why I feel like this situation is like, has to be one that ends in Gilmore playing somewhere else this year.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I also think there's an aspect of Bill's been around the block for, you know, a lot of years. And he probably understands the aspect. Like, look, Gilmore, probably a guy who's had some injuries in his career, like, he probably doesn't want to go out to training camp without his new deal, because if he, like, he, you know, the Achilles goes, anything happens, he's never getting another deal. So, like, you know, I know it's a cop-out aspect and, a, you know, an interesting way to look at it, maybe not the most fun way to look at it. But I feel like that's probably where Gilmore's head is at. And I bet, you know, he's probably communicated that to the people in the building. I don't know. But you're right. Like, I don't think Bill loves that he's not there trying to get better right now, you know, with the rest of the team, because pretty much everyone else, barring health issues, has been there. So, you know, I don't think he loves it, but I think he probably gets it from that aspect of, you know, Gilmore's on the wrong side of 30 and trying to, you know, protect his family and make the right business decision and this and that. You know, the, you know what we hear about that kind of stuff. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping he sticks around, because to me, even if it's 1 year, like another second round pick, like, yeah, it'd be nice to have once the draft comes around, but I'd rather have another season with Stephon Gilmore potentially still in his prime.
I suppose, and who knows if they could even get a second round pick at this point. It feels like the value is getting lower and lower. I think Bleacher Report tweeted out two different trade ideas for Stephon Gilmore. It was, I think, a third round pick for the Giants and a second round pick for someone else, maybe the Falcons, I can't recall. But, it seems like, people talked about maybe him getting thrown into a Julio Jones trade and maybe him, you know, being used to help the Patriots move up in the draft if they wanted to move up in the first round. And I don't know. I feel like the whole idea of where there's smoke, there's fire, that there has to be another shoe that's getting ready to drop here, because we've heard about him being traded for a year. So would I want him on the team this year? Yeah, I agree with you. Like, get as much talent as you can, load it up, put it all on the field. Have one big year where you really go for it and you try to make a run and you try to show people that you're more than just a product of drafting Tom Brady 20 years ago and getting insanely lucky. Do that. But I just have a hard time believing that's what's actually going to happen, considering all we've seen with the Stephon Gilmore saga since October, with the whole thing with his house on the market and he's not showing up and he thinks he's being traded and all this stuff. And now all the rumors that keep coming out from reputable people, Diana Rossini, Ian Rappaport, that he's pretty much on his way out, and then for nothing to happen. Like, I understand the Patriots are can be kind of good at the whole ignore the noise thing and, you know, whatever, like all this stuff about outside rumors and whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of smoke here for me to expect that there's nothing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it literally comes down to, do the Patriots, you know, the ball is in their court. Do they spend money to keep him because he's not showing up to play for you on this current contract? Or do they bite the bullet and take a little less trade value than he's probably worth, like I said earlier, because somebody has to pay him when they get him? So it's like, you know, the Patriots are going to have to make that call. And you're right, they probably should have made that already. But who knows? You know, maybe there's, like I said, a hope that the value could kick back up a little bit, which seems crazy to me if they're, you know, he's not participating in training camp. He's sitting at home right now. So, I don't know. You're right. It's, at the end of the day, it's a business. And if they were going to work it out, they probably should have by now. Whether they will, we'll find out.
So, Devin McCourty said he's been talking to Stephon Gilmore and that he said he's still a part of this team and he's been talking to him, all this stuff. So, we'll see. He hasn't shown up to mandatory minicamp. He hasn't shown up to OTAs. So, once training camp rolls around, I mean, do you think he's going to show up to training camp, or do you think this is a situation where if he does show up, it's going to be week one and put me on the field, I'm ready to go? You just kind of have to trust that without him showing up at all.
Yeah, it's a weird situation, because it's like I almost at this point, unless there's a resolution, don't expect to see him at training camp, because like I said, if that's his mindset, which I'm speculating, but if that's his mindset that he doesn't want to take a chance of anything happening before he gets his deal and he gets his money. And he's worth that money for sure. Someone out there is going to pay him that money. But, you know, whether it'll be us, we'll find out. But, yeah, I don't know. It'd be tough to just come in week one, right? Like, do you think a player, you know, especially of his caliber, who's probably had a routine for his whole career, wants to just, you know, and obviously you can do stuff on the side. It's not to say you can't work out and still have your fitness routine before to lead up the season on your own. But then at that point, I don't understand what the difference is between doing it on your own, doing it in the facility. Maybe it's liability. I have no idea. But yeah, it's kind of a disaster, and it could turn into more of a disaster. But I would hope if he plans to play week one, you at least come to some of training camp. If you plan to hold out indefinitely until there's a resolution, then, you know, we won't see him.
I mean, we've seen players do it before. I think one of the most notable ones is Le'Veon Bell, who, you know, held out until week one, I think 2 years in a row, and then finally just didn't show up at all in that third year with the Steelers. So, I guess players can do it and can work out at home. I think maybe the argument to do it is you can control your own workout. You don't have a coach yelling at you to do certain things all the time. But, I'm sure Stephon Gilmore, I know he said he has a routine and that involves an NFL facility usually, but I'm sure he knows his body and can train on his own if he wants. I would find it insane for the Patriots to operate that way. I've never known them to operate that way with any player. Even Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady didn't show up to OTAs a few years, but he did show up to mandatory minicamp, if I remember right, correct? And I know he showed up for training camp. So for them to be okay with Stephon Gilmore doing things that way, it would just shock
me. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. That's like I said, that would be a complete disaster. And usually the Patriots don't let things get to that point. If it's going to get that ugly, I think they would at that point take a fourth just to not have to be in the media every day hearing about what's Stephon Gilmore. You know, he's not here again. He's not here again. This, that, and the third. So, yeah, I hope it doesn't get to that point. I'd rather have him get traded. And like I said, I really want him to still be on the team, but I'd rather have him get traded for the third that you said to the Giants, fine, than have it get to the point where it's that much of a disaster and we kind of almost are, you know, embarrassing ourselves and, like you said, operating in a way that we never have before.
All right, let's get to one of the other big notes from training camp, which was from Mike Reese. I think all the ESPN reporters for each individual NFL team were talking about the surprise of training camp for each team. And for the Patriots, Mike Reese said it was Josh Uche, who I know is someone that we're both a little familiar with, the former Michigan Wolverine. And that was kind of a pleasant surprise. It was interesting news considering the fact that the Patriots brought in a couple big-name linebackers this year already. And that position is quickly going from one of their biggest weaknesses to perhaps a little bit crowded. But what do you make of the report that Uche has been the surprise of training camp, or the surprise of mandatory minicamp, I should say?
Well, first and foremost, I absolutely love it. Big Josh Uche fan, have been since he was wearing the maize and blue. But look, you get Matt Judon and Kyle Van Noy and Dante Hightower's coming back, and you still have Bentley, and like, you know, I guess Winovich is still in the picture, or is he? But Josh Uche is a really dynamic athlete, and you know Bill kind of likes these, these pass rushes, a little bit undersized, a little bit more athletic pass rushes that can cover a little bit more ground and, you know, do a little bit more than pass rush. They can actually tackle, and, you know, Josh Uche has range. Like, you know, I don't know if they did it last year because he played, five games, is he possibly a player that you could put in coverage? I don't know. Like, that's a thought that I'm having. I think he's exciting. He's obviously got the intangibles, we'll call it. And we'll see, because the Patriots are notorious, right, for running those rotations of pass rushers and linebackers, just different guys coming off the edge, different guys with the ability to make plays. And he's definitely a guy who has that kind of, playmaker ability because, like I said, he's a little bit more athletic than, your average guy at that position.
Well, the thing about Uche that's interesting is, to me, is just the angle of Winovich, which you kind of hinted at there already. And I wrote a month ago that I already was worried about Winovich's status heading into the season because of the fact that they brought in Van Noy and they brought in Matt Judon, and they have Dante Hightower come back too, who can play on the edge a little bit sometimes if he so chooses. And I thought, it's really starting to look like there's not a lot of room for Chase Winovich in this picture. And Winovich last year, his snap count should have gone up to around 80% at least if you were going based on what Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy played the season prior, and Winovich being their best pass rusher, and it did not go up that much. And now this year they bring in two guys that are supposedly going to play over him, and now I'm also hearing that Josh Uche is playing well and could be a key contributor in that area as well. So what am I left to think that Chase Winovich's role is on this team? And I wrote that article, and I got a little bit of pushback because Chase Winovich, a fan favorite for obvious reasons. But Winovich, it seemed like he would have been a perfect guy to throw into a potential Julio Jones package, because he would have had more value to the Falcons than he would to the Patriots. The Falcons needed a pass rusher. A cheap one would have been nice. And a package surrounded around Winovich for Jones, maybe you throw in an extra pick, seemed like it made so much sense. Obviously, it didn't come to fruition, but I wonder if that's something that they were discussing or considering at all, and maybe they just couldn't make it work. But I don't understand what I'm supposed to believe about Chase Winovich, because obviously he has one more year left on his contract after this season, so I guess you can say two more seasons left, and this season already feels like it's going to be one where he's very rarely showcased, unless they just go like full on 2007 to 2011 Giants, like NASCAR front. I'm throwing, you know, Van Noy, Matt Judon, Chase Winovich, all up there at once. And like, I think if they did that, they would just get run over so much that it just could not possibly be something that they end up doing. I could never imagine the Patriots playing that way defensively, because they're so about fundamental, being fundamentally sound than just kind of big play, trying to be a big play defense. So I don't know. I feel like for a lot of those reasons, I just don't understand where Chase Winovich fits in anymore.
And mind you, another guy that both of us love, and like you said, a lot of people love, you know, a lot of Patriots fans love him just from his Patriots fans. Me and KJ were loving Chase Winovich when he was thriving at Michigan, you know, terrorizing Big Ten quarterbacks. I had really high aspirations for him. I thought he was, kind of a dynamic talent, and I thought he was a little slept on when we got him. I believe it was the third round, and I thought, like you said, there was an opportunity, and a lot of times in the NFL, it's all about these guys getting the opportunity and then, you know, doing something with them when they have the snap count. And his snap count did not go up like we thought it would, and there had to be a reason for that, because like there were legitimately guys playing more than him that should not have been playing more than him. So obviously there's, you know, some questions in the building about whether Chase Winovich is as good as maybe everybody, wants to think that he is. I still feel like last year when he was on the field, you saw him, when you're watching football, obviously your team's playing defense. A lot of times your eyes are on the opposing team's quarterback, and, you know, that's how the play develops from there. But you see Winovich get, whether he actually gets the sack or a QB hit or not, like, I feel like you still saw him getting a good amount of pressure. So, I didn't think he was the worst. I was just scratching my head last year, and I think you were too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd like, why is he not out there more? And, now if he wasn't out there then, he certainly shouldn't be out there now based on the talent that they've added. So, yeah, it's really a weird case, but, you know, this happens. Some guys just fall out of favor in Patriot land. We've seen it happen many times before.
Yeah, and you talked about him playing well last season, in spite of the fact that he wasn't out there as much as we expected. Now, by the way, his snap count did double last season from his rookie to his second year, which is good. It should have tripled. He was their best pass rusher, and he was only out there 55% of the time. Like, that doesn't make sense at all. And Winovich, despite the fact that his sack total wasn't that great last year, it was 5.5, which was the same as his rookie year, even though his snap count doubled, so that was a problem. But he did have a lot of pressures, which wasn't, something. He just wasn't able to finish the job, but pressure's obviously important too. He ranked 10th in the NFL in total pressures, despite playing 55% of the snaps. So I just don't understand why Bill Belichick, what he was looking at and saying, no, Chase Winovich, yeah, I didn't want him out there at the same amount that I had Van Noy or Hightower out there, or Jamie Collins out there, or anything like that. Even, like, when you think about, I think the clear reason that you could go to is, well, you know, he's not disciplined enough, he's not making the right play enough percent of the time, whatever you want to say. Like, Jamie Collins was that guy for a long time. The Patriots felt that way about Jamie Collins, and Jamie Collins was still getting the snaps. So last year, just to put it in perspective, Chase Winovich played 58% of the snaps, And nobody really played much more than that. It was very much a committee up front. John Simon was the high water mark at 69%. And now John Simon, I believe, is still a free agent. I don't think anyone signed him, not even the Patriots. So what does that say about the fact that he was your top guy last year? Now he doesn't even have a job. Dietrich Wise was 55%, slightly different position, obviously. And then it's, I guess, Cowart listed as a D-end a little bit. He played a little D-end, was 41%. Jennings played 28%. Therese Hall played 25%. Calhoun played 25%. Uche played 17%. So it was just Tayshaun Bowser played 13%. Nick Thurman played 11%. Derek Rivers played 8%. So it was just like they just were kind of throwing anything out there, I guess, and figuring out what they liked. I don't understand how I can list all of those names off to you that are kind of just guys, really. And Chase Winovich, who was, again, as talented as he is, was not playing more. And to me, the conclusion I come to is they can't like this guy. It is impossible that they actually like Chase Winovich, considering how little they played him last year with the depleted state of their front seven. You cannot sit here and tell me that they like him when that was the case.
No, I agree with you. And I was just thinking about it as you were saying that. And it's like, if they didn't like him that much, though, as like, even just like as a, you know, as a locker room guy or as president, whatever, you know, like if they didn't like him and that was the reason that he wasn't playing, because look, like he was relatively efficient. Like, yeah, he didn't have a crazy amount of sacks. 5.5 sacks is by no means terrible. It's decent, but you're hoping to see it improve from his rookie year. But I mean, to be top 10 in QB pressures, like, look, you said it. Those matter too. Like putting pressure on the quarterback, making the quarterback make a quicker decision. Like obviously anyone who watches football understands the importance of that. So it's, yeah, it's like it leads you down that road where the only, you know, consensus you can come to is like they must not like him. But then it's like, why after another, you know, he played last year and then a full offseason, if they don't like this guy that much and they got all these other guys who can replace him, why is he still here? Because I feel like you said, he's a guy, whether it was in a trade for Julio Jones or in a trade just to stockpile another draft pick for the future, I feel like he's a guy who had some value to someone. So if they didn't like him, I don't know why they wouldn't have capitalized on the value. The whole thing, it literally makes no sense. But I'm used to things with the Patriots making no sense. It's, you know, kind of just the way that it goes sometimes.
So we'll see if they do try to sell off Winovich basically here and get what they can get for him, because he's, I don't know, basically the odd man out there right now. And that's, by the way, what Greg Bedard said, like I think a month ago. Right after the draft, someone asked, would you say either Jennings or Winovich is on the outs with Perkins, Judon, and the return of Kyle Van Noy? And he said, Winovich, maybe both. And that's all he said about it. So obviously that's concerning. And then just a couple weeks ago, I already mentioned that Bleacher Report article that mentioned Gilmore being traded a couple times for a trade for each team to make. They said the Steelers should trade for Chase Winovich. They said a fourth round pick for Winovich. And they said basically just that looking across the AFC, to a team like New England, might be able to help fill that void that Bud Dupree left. They stole all my stats that I had in my article, so that's fine. I assume they must have just taken them right out of there, but that's fine. And then anyway, they said after a roster reset, the Patriots might be willing to let a versatile piece like that go for the right price, blah, blah, blah. So, if it was a move for Julio Jones, that's one thing. I would have been fine with that. Again, I think it was a value-for-value swap where you get someone that you value more than we do, and we get someone we value more than you do, and we need more than you do for very obvious reasons. Like, the Falcons have a strength at receiver right now. The Patriots have a strength at front seven right now, as shocking as that may be for some people to hear. And we swap strength for strength and for weakness for weakness, and it works, right? Trading, and again, there would have been needed to be other things included in that package. It probably would have had to have been, like, Winovich and a third for Julio Jones. But so that's one thing, to get a really good tangible asset back. To trade Winovich for a fourth-round pick, which, again, is lower than you drafted him, I understand why that's the case a little bit, but it's like, is that really the return I want for Chase Winovich? I feel like I should maybe be able to get more than that, and not only that, like, because it's not even so much that, I need a second-round pick for Chase Winovich. That's not what I'm saying, but it just feels like I would have rather packaged him for something more. Like, that's not the Chase Winovich trade I want to make. I don't just want to trade Chase Winovich for a pick. I want to get some sort of other player that can help the team right away for him.
Yeah, right. And if you get a pick right now, it's obviously going to be for next season because you waited this long to do it. So it can't be beneficial to the team, and you know, at least this year's team, unless you're able to, you know, turn him into another player. But I guess, you know, sometimes it is interesting. Sometimes the Patriots, you know, make trades kind of at roster cutdown time when teams are, you know, looking at, you know, they kind of will zero in on another team who has a player who might not make the roster or whatever it may be, and they'll, you know, give something. So, like, maybe there's a scenario this time
where... Right, so, like, you're talking about, like, the Jacoby Brissett, Philip Dorsett swap they did a few years ago.
Yeah, something to that aspect where it's like, you know, maybe there's a guy over here that's kind of fallen out of favor, but still definitely has some value. Like, and I can't pinpoint who that would be, who you could trade a Chase Winovich for, but I mean, maybe there's a veteran receiver or somebody, you know, like that, you know, a team who has some better young weapons. Like, whatever it is, I think you could probably figure something out, because I think we can both agree on the fact that he has value out there to other teams.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. I think that obviously a trade, if a trade's coming, again, I think you probably have it right. That end of training camp move is maybe where it's going to come. And the Patriots are going to have a lot of interesting roster decisions to make with a lot of, you could say, big name players, I suppose, or just names maybe just big around Foxborough that are polarizing, whether that be Sony Michel, Chase Winovich, N'Keal Harry. It's going to be interesting to see what they have to do with all those guys, because I would say for all those guys, they're either on their last shot or their second to last shot with the team. So the Patriots have some definite interesting calls to make with those guys, especially considering that replacements have come in for a lot of those guys already. Like, the Patriots have, for all intents and purposes, brought in the, you know, whether it be Ronnie Perkins and all those other guys I mentioned, whether it be Ramondre Stevenson for Sony Michel, or all the receivers they signed. Like, they have players to make that basically make those guys expendable. So I think this is probably going to be one of the most intriguing preseasons we've seen from the Patriots in a long time. Maybe the best preseason that we can even remember, because there could be a quarterback competition. There's going to be a lot of competition across the rest of the roster. And at the end of the day, when it's time for the roster to be cut down, it's going to be a lot of hard decisions with all the signings they made in free agency. We've already seen them have to offload a couple big, use that term loosely, but like Ryan Izzo, Marcus Cannon, like, They've already had to get rid of some guys that we know pretty well. So when it comes that time to finally cut down the roster, there's going to be some big names, so to speak, walking out the door. And that's why I think just this whole training camp that we're headed for, this preseason, it's going to be very, very interesting for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Because they have depth. Like, even when they had Tom Brady was great at covering up all the holes that you had on your football team. But I feel like they haven't had depth like this in a long time. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting in a lot of aspects. I will say this. It's just a gut feeling. Like, honestly, I really have nothing to back this up. I have a good feeling about Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's going to be just a bruiser. And I don't know, I look back, and this is, you know, just me as a fan with the eye test, but last year, Damian Harris struggled inside the 5, inside the 10. And that's why Cam Newton, a lot of times, we were trying to pound it in on third down or something along those lines. So I don't know what it is with Damian Harris. Maybe that was more of an offensive line thing last year. I don't know. He just doesn't have vision for the goal line. I'm not sure. But I think that's why they went that route. Because, look, there were some decent backs. Like, I'm pretty sure Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State. Like, there were some bigger names, I guess, out there still available. But Stevenson fits this bruiser role. And I don't know. I'm just, for some reason, I'm really excited about him. And he'll probably get, you know, eased in very slowly, because that's what the Patriots always like to do with skill position players. But I'm excited for him, and I think he's the type of guy in his future who has, like, you know, a 10-12 touchdown season in his future, just, you know, by being that, you know, like, remember the year LeGarrette Blount scored, like, what, 18 touchdowns, but he had yards, but, like, you just, you know, sometimes it's right place, right time. Team gets you down inside the 10 and you pound it in. So I could see him being a nice touchdown vulture from Damian Harris this year.
Huh. All right, yeah. Well, watch out for your fantasy teams then, if that's the case. A little bit, we'll have to do a fantasy football, fantasy football talk at the end there. But thank you, Colin. Appreciate you coming on talking about Patriots minicamp as it wraps up. And again, I think it's going to be a great preseason. So definitely, we'll have you back on to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me, KJ. I look forward to seeing what pans out with some of these storylines that we talked about and other storylines that'll probably be created as time goes on here. And I look forward to talking to you again soon as we see how some of these things get their resolutions and how some of them develop. So thanks again and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, guys, you can go follow Colin on Twitter at @KanadaColin. Keep up with all the stuff over there. You can follow me on Twitter at @ByKJDoyle. Check out everything over at the podcast at Wicked Smart Pod. And follow Guy Boston Sports on Twitter at Guy Boston Sports. Keep up with all the Boston sports news over there and news across all the leagues, all the national stories. We brought on a few new writers over the last few weeks here, so they put out some good content, so you're going to want to keep up with that. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.